So, good afternoon. Very interesting because I watched how the message about the oil really got people. It got people. And had a few phone calls and conversations about it. And I had a wonderful conversation with Mitchell this morning, and the way he kind of took it was, prepare for the worst. And I was like, well, no, actually no, I don't prepare for the worst. I prepare for the best. And so I gave him this example, and I feel like I should share it with you guys real quick. I said, if you and I got a phone call, and we sat down and talked and agreed that this investment was available for us, and all you need is $100, show up, and it's a good opportunity and good investment. We did all the research, and we studied it out, and we knew that we were committed to where we were going, what we were doing. If you showed up with $100, I would show up with $1,000. Because another opportunity might pop up within that, and I want to be ready. So I go there with the extra, not because I'm afraid things could go wrong, but I'm looking for more opportunity and more opportunity for God to show himself. So preparation to me is not in case things go wrong. If you think about it with the whole thing with the virgins and the oil, the lack of oil wasn't in case things go wrong. The lack of oil was for them having enough to be ready if the time called for more. One of the biggest things me and Angela used to go through back in the day was she would go to the store, she would buy something she said was on sale. How much was it? 29 cents. How much is it usually? $1. Why didn't you buy four of them? It's like, then why didn't you buy four of them? You was gonna spend that amount anyway, so buy the extra. She does it now. But my point is, that was like an ongoing battle with us. But if it was a quarter and it normally costs $1, then spend $1 and get more of them. Preparation is not necessarily preparing for bad times, even though the scripture says you should have more stored. It's really preparing. I like that way better. I'll put it like this. If God's going to move, I want to be prepared for that move, whatever that move might be. I just want to be prepared. I don't want to do just enough. I want to be prepared. We're in a very interesting place, house. We're transitioning. You know we are. I'm transitioning out. I keep getting the conversations, well, where are we going to go to church? And I'm like, that kind of sounds like a not my problem kind of question. I am concerned, but if that's all it is, well, we can still get together once in a while and have fellowship, but we don't need a set, well, I don't know what your need. I know I don't. I have church every day, almost. Me and the Lord get together. I'm saying, Lord, I'm getting in the shower. You coming? I know that sounds funny, but it is what it is. He's there anyway, so might as well let him invite him. It ain't like he turns the camera off. He's there all the time, so might get in the shower. You made me. You know what I look like. Let's go. Here's the thing. I told you guys from the beginning of church, I didn't come here to recruit followers. I came here to train leaders. You have enough now that you should be ready to lead and wherever God is calling you to lead. We can still get together. call a monthly meeting, whatever, and gather around the table and talk about, didn't Jesus take all the disciples and just send them out? Do them out. Go out there and come back and tell me what you did. It's to come into that point. That's what preparation is about. Yes. I have enough. This wasn't part of the message, but it is. Lindsay, you just did the commercial for Red Cross, or we just did the commercial. Okay. And what was the commercial about? Preparedness in case of a flood. Preparation. Have your little blanket, extra pair of socks, and make sure you. Okay, so why aren't we doing that spiritually? God want to have more than enough oil. You may need me. You know, the interesting thing was when they all went out and they ministered and they realized there was no food for the people, and they're kind of running around, you know, we got to send these people back. It's going to get night and they're going to starve. And you're like, nah, just bring me what you got. And Jesus had the ability to increase the fish and the loaves because he has surplus. He's always surplus. God's a God of surplus. And amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Because this is real crucial for me right now. I'll talk to you later off camera, but I just literally was offered a business deal to come in and manage somebody's whole business for them. And they're a very established business. They're not a beginning business. And because I have oil. And the question was, do you think you could take this company to the next level? And my response was, I know who can, I know how to reach them. I know who can. God proved it to me through Esther and through Nellie that, yeah, I could give you anything and you'll figure it out. And even you, Sherry. Just getting you to stop ducking, that's the thing, but yeah. but you know, those who push in and get what they need to get it. Now, oil is preparedness. But oil is also, you listening? Because now I start semi-preaching. Oil is also an act of faith. See, if you're preparing for things to go wrong, then that's a doubt thing. You're afraid that things could go wrong. But if your oil is you having enough so that when God moves, you're ready, that's an act of faith. God, I know you said you could do this, but it also says, your word says you do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask, think, or dare imagine. So then let me make sure I have what I need if you do exceedingly abundantly more than what I think, ask, or dare imagine. I ask you, God, to meet my needs. I'm not going to come to you with a small pocketbook. I'm going to bring a back sack, a whole army bag, because you just may do exceedingly abundantly and I won't be able to take it. See, when the women, the widow women came to her because they took her sons, the Lord's prophet told her, go gather up jars, as many as you can. She went to all her neighbors. She got all she could. She probably decided at a certain point, that's all I got. And the scripture said, and oil poured until she ran out of jars. What if she just kept them jars coming? What if she just kept them? She said, listen, I'm going to go back now and let them stop pouring these jars. You pouring the jars? Okay, I'm going to get back out there. And as we're selling off these jars, I want to keep some jars coming in. Right? She didn't have to stop. That's not a put down on her. That's where her faith was. She stopped collecting jars. Ooh, I know I'm speaking to you right now. I'm prepared for the goodness of God, not for in case things go wrong.
Amen.
I'm preparing myself for the move of God. That's what the whole banquet was about, wasn't it? Being prepared for the move of God. So, last week we talked about, from Proverbs chapter 2, the, get wisdom, and we already established that through getting Christ as Savior. And then with wisdom, get insight, understanding, and through that, or the hidden treasures are revealed. And then you will know the knowledge of God. And I'm not going to break all that down again, because we won't have any time to do the rest of this message. How many of you walked through that in your spirit during the course of this week? Really begin to pick through that. That's a good foundational message. The oil, then the oil I'm showing you is in the wisdom, in the insight, in the knowledge. That's the oil. It's not collecting and gathering stuff. Is getting all the spiritual resource that you can have. Amen. There's plenty of spiritual resource. It's limitless. And it's hidden from no one. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So there's plenty of spiritual resource. How much are you gathering? How much are you getting? That's what the message was about. How much of this stuff are you gathering up and getting ready for the time of the Lord? Amen. When God manifestation shows up in your life. And I'm very careful to say that, not to say when God moves. I hate when church people say that, and I don't say it because that's to assume that there's times that God does not move, and that's not true. God's always moving. As long as there's heaven and earth, seed time and harvest shall not fail. So if you have no harvest, that means you've planted no seed, because seed time and harvest shall never fail as long as there's heaven and earth. So if you got a lack, that means there was a gap or space that you had a chance to sow that you missed. That's why I'm always looking for the opportunity to sow. Not just in money and stuff, but in wisdom and counsel and guidance and knowledge. I'm always looking for the opportunity to do that every chance I get, because I know I have a harvest of that comes back to me. And that's why when people come to me and bringing their businesses to me, I can turn them around, because I've sown so long in the area of wisdom and insight and knowledge and understanding that now I'm claiming the harvest on that, which I didn't know was my harvest. And that's why I'm moving as fast as I'm moving. I don't have to wait for this stuff to grow. It's been sitting in the field waiting for me. I'm just running out there with my truck, with my tractor trailer, getting all the stuff I can get, and I'm got it, and I'm ordering another tractor trailer while I'm filling this one. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So my truck is full now. No, I'm listen. This truck is already on the market for sale. The full truck. I'm ready ordering, using that money to order the next truck. So we talked about this gathering up. I want us to get that picture. The gathering up of spiritual things. That's the title of the message today. It's part of last week's message, but it's the gathering up of spiritual things or spiritual tools, whatever you want to call it, right? There's a process of gathering up natural that has its limits, but when you gather up spiritual, it's like limitless. See, let me show you how Daddy showed me this. If you save up a bunch of money, it's a good thing. You go to the store and you buy a whole bunch of spaghetti sauce, ramen noodles, whatever it is, you got your cabinets filled with it. Eventually, that stuff will get used and run out and need to be replenished. When you tap into the well of wisdom from God, that never runs out. It's not a replenishing, it's just a return to. Just go back to the well, it's there. Insight from God never runs out. It's there, just return to it. How long it take you to go back? It's there. It's right there. Understanding never runs out. It's there. Stop watching the YouTube videos about Trump and this one and that one and the other and go keep going to your well. Amen. All that stuff is distraction. I'm telling you right now, all this election bull crap, Like, I'm going to look at it. Here was my thing. I said, Lord, who am I voting for? Who do you want me to vote for? Because I know whoever you tell me to vote for is going to win. So who you want me to vote for? I don't even care about all the, I don't even want to hear all the bull. I looked at it and did my research up one side, down the other. I saw where Trump was horrible. I saw where Biden was horrible. And I said, you know what? At the end of the day, they all suck. Both of them are horrible. I don't want none of them. I think I could do a better job, but I'm not into politics. This is real simple. A house divided can't stand. Love one another. If we could just get that right, everything would be okay. If we could just stop all the barriers of this, that, and the other and just love each other, that would be it. White people, black people, Asian people, just people. Just love the people and that's it. Take care of the people. Take care of your country take care of itself. Amen. Everybody's looking to take care of their percentage of the country that they know is going to kick back to them. On both sides. I ain't stupid, I see it. Everybody's trying to feed the pot that they know is going to feed them back. I didn't mean to get into all of that, but it's the truth. But that spiritual resource doesn't go dry. It doesn't run out. Think about this. Two of the most prominent men, I didn't plan to go here, that made significant change that marked history. Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Forever changed the world. And what was their message? Peace, love. That was it. No, we're not going to take up arms. We're going to be at peace. We want to walk in love and trust God. Will we be confronted? Yes. Will we lose some people? Yes. But that happens in wars all the time. And it still don't change nothing. We were in the Vietnam War for decades and it still didn't win. We just finally had to decide, you know, enough people have died. Let's just get up out of there. The principles of God last. They work. They work regardless of what people think. So for me, at this season, I'm like, God, I see what you're showing me. Don't try to gather up money. Don't try to gather up connections for the sake of connections. Oh, you're not listening to me right now. Don't try to figure out whose booty you need to kiss to get up in good with them because, yeah, well, when they die, then you're done. Your connection's over. You got to go find a whole new booty to kiss. No, tap into the things of God, the wisdom and counsel of God, and people will come from near and far and offer you the world for that counsel and that wisdom. That's what Solomon did. That's where God has me now. That's what it is. God said to me years ago, almost 20-something years ago, to Pastor Godfrey, that people will come from around the world, near and far, for your wisdom. And at that time, I'm looking at him like, I ain't got no wisdom for nobody to come for nothing for. Like, what are you talking about? Yet, the moment I got saved, I was immediately drawn to the book of Proverbs, and I studied it day and night until I almost memorized it. And I didn't know why I was drawn to that book, but I was drawn to it. Well, the thing that caught my attention was Solomon didn't seek God for wealth. He didn't seek God for riches. He sought God for the wisdom to lead his people. And as a result of that, God made him the richest man there ever was. So I went to a season where I was seeking wisdom so I could be the richest man, not to lead God's people. See, I took some of the order and moved it. It don't work like that. H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, makes water. HO2 don't make water. The same symbols are in there, but it don't work like that. You follow what I'm saying? So I had to come to the realization that the principles of God are stable. They're stable. They work all the time. So your oil is gathering up all the God intel you can. Insight. Knowledge, understanding, these are the things that are your foundation, but it doesn't stop there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is going to be a blessing to you. Let me know when you're there. Starting at verse 10. Here's what it says. You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. You know about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. So now let's take this and add this to wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. I told you I got the word today. See, this is the way I'm going to phrase it. My mouth got a little watery. This is the recipe to the biggest success meal you can make. These are the ingredients. You can't leave them out. You take any of these out, you alter the flavor. You can still make it, but it won't taste as good. So purpose. What is purpose? I'm putting it on the floor if you want to jump in, do your Googling and whatever you want to do, or just tell me from your heart what you got. What is purpose? See, that's why I like to ask these questions. Because if I just speak in front of you, it doesn't activate your spirit to realize you don't even give thought to these kind of words. Your why, okay, but that still is an answer, right? Esther, the reason why you exist, I like that, come on. Your destiny is tied up in your purpose, absolutely. Nobody's wrong. I want to get your talking about it. I want to get your meat. What is purpose to you? What is purpose? Because so many people say, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, of course you don't know what you're called to do. You don't even know what your purpose is. Once you know what your purpose is, you start to figure out what you're called to do, because you can tie what goes to your purpose to that. Let me throw something at you. Hold on a second. Hold your thought, Esther. Let me throw something at you. If you say to me, my purpose is to be a bus driver. That's my destiny. Well, we got something to work with now. Well, first you need to know how to drive. Okay, now you got to study for that test that they got to take to be able to drive a bus. Now you got to get practice in driving a bus. You have something now. When a person is purposeless, they can't figure out, I don't know what I'm called to do. Of course you don't. You have no purpose. Once you get your purpose, you can then begin to tack onto it the things necessary to bring that purpose to pass. If your purpose is to bake a cake, you know whether it's vegan. If it's vegan, you're going to use the applesauce in place of the eggs. And if it's non, you're going to get some eggs. And depending on how big you want that cake to be, you know how many eggs and flour and stuff you need. It's really just that simple. Esther, you were going to say something? Your end goal. All of this lines up with what I'm saying right now, doesn't it? Purpose doesn't mean you know everything you're going to do or everything you have to learn. But at least it puts you on the path to what you need to consider gathering and what your oil needs to look like. Amen. Yeah. That's why you don't have enough oil. Because you have no purpose. Them five dumb virgins didn't know what they went there for. It's called a foolish virgin. It's foolish, dumb, same thing. They went there and said, oh, he's coming. Okay, we're going to be there. We're going to get taken and we're going to go to the party. The other one's like, okay, this is an eternal thing. It's like, this is going to be, we're going to make sure we're ready. And we're going to have enough oil, enough endurance, enough patience, enough whatever it takes, because it took patience to carry that extra oil and to know that they may have to wait longer than what they thought they would have to wait. Come on now. So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking about these are people that came prepared. Oh, come on now, Hispanics. They know it's Sunday. These are the purposes. These purpose drive us to do or to prepare. Purpose will drive you to prepare. But nobody told me that growing up. I didn't know that. I just figured out as I go. I stumble into something. Where am I? I'm in a hole. My purpose is to get out this hole. So now I'm going to do everything I knew to get out of this hole. I'm going to sell some drugs. I'm going to, do some legal stuff. I'm going to do some illegal stuff. I'm going to beg family members for some money. Whatever I need to do, because I have a purpose. What's that purpose? To get out of this hole. Okay, but now that you're out the hole, you are now purposeless again. And you float through life, aimless. Remember the question I asked you as soon as Broadway was, we landed? I said, what more question? What's your next purpose? Because if you don't have one, you're going to linger here. You're going to linger here. Purpose. Talk to Daddy about your purpose. Not what it is you want to do and what is it you love to do, but what are you here for, as somebody said. Why am I here? What is my, as she said, end game, Father? What is my ultimate purpose for being here? Why do you have me here? And I don't even mean just in the whole earth. It's where you are right now. For such a time as this, why am I here? Why did you put this person in my life? Why am I in this person's life? What's the purpose? Because now you're going to do what you need to do to have the sufficient oil. Did that help somebody? We can say amen and wrap up the message right here. Told you I had a word. So now, the next word after purpose is what?
Faith.
So now, faith falls into a place that makes more sense. You ready? What do you use your faith for? What do you use your faith for? I'm just getting, trying to get this apartment, trying to get this job, trying to pay these bills, feeling some pain in my body, trying to be healed. The short oil, short-term goals, you waste your faith on day-to-day things. What should I eat? What should I drink? What should I put clothes? What should I wear? And he said, take no thought. That's what the heathens do. What do you use your faith for? Well, I just gave you something, a purpose. If you have a purpose, now you can apply your faith to something that has eternal value. If you don't hear anything I've ever preached to you before in your life, hear me today. Daddy got with me. That's why I said, guess what I got? He said, you're coming into your purpose, and that's why everything is moving so fast for you. He said, because you're coming into your purpose. purpose. And you are now not, because even when he started moving into diversity, and people said, oh, you can make a lot of money than that. And God caught me. He said, son, don't get caught up in doing this for money. He said, yeah, you can make a lot, and you with me, you will. But do not do this for money. So I had to go and say, God, why am I doing this? Why did you open this door for me in this area? You go right away at me, well, see, now you're going to be able to buy your house, see? So then once I bought the house, then what? Now I don't want to do this no more because I have no purpose. Ain't for no house already. I own houses. After a while, it's just a house. One more thing to pay electric and bills and lights and gas and snow shovel and maintenance. Gosh. It's a lot when you got snow on half an acre versus 4 acres. Like, look, God, right, it ain't about stuff. Why did you put me in this? And when I begin to ask that question, the answer began to come. People begin to say to me, the stuff you say, people are not saying. The way you're saying it, if you read the article, in both articles, the final statement on both articles was what I said. The stuff you're saying is impactful. My son called me and said, you know, I was looking at your thing again. He's like, you got to be careful that you don't let people try to, like, pervert that. He said, because what you got, he said, the stuff you say. And I sat back and said, Lord, show me. And he said this. Now, you got to understand this. Some people would take issue with this. But it's a real statement. And God showed me it this week. Or last week, whatever. He said, diversity don't belong to people of color. It belongs to the corporations. They made those positions. So if you work for Procter & Gamble, and they make you in charge of their diversity division, who do you report to? That diversity and what it's about is theirs. Procter & Gamble decides what's diversity and what's not, and then they tell you, and you go out and say it. And if you get too diverse, they'll fire you and undiverse you and get somebody else who'll say there what they want them to say. I'm not saying that's what they did. I just mentioned their name. I don't know nothing about them like that. God said, I gave you a platform where you're not tied to anybody. And if anybody comes to you and offers you a phenomenal job, don't take it. He said, because if they do, they'll try to dictate to you what you can say and can't say. You now will say what I tell you to say. And if they don't invite me back, so be it. It's still said. It's recorded and in the airwaves and you can't pull it down. Purpose does that. Without purpose, you grab at anything that looks like a life raft, even if it's a rock. You know, if you drown and you can grab something in the water and think it saves your life, and it could be tethered to a weight. So you're there, but you're floating in one spot. You ain't going to go nowhere. Hoping somebody find you don't die from hypothermia or shock don't get you. That's where you're going to just float, bounce, bobbing up and down in one area for the rest of your life. No purpose. So faith attaches itself to purpose. Now faith has a different use. I believe by faith for a parking spot. Come on, I'm laughing at it because I did it too. And yeah, I still will claim me a spot. But that's not what faith is for. Faith is not Jesus, I need candy. Faith is like, I can anchor this to my purpose and believe no matter how long it takes or what it looks like, I have a destiny and I'm anchored to the end game and I can attach my faith to that purpose. And then all these things shall be added unto me. I don't need to pray about all that other stuff. Yeah. Do you realize if you're on the path to doing what God called you to do, lack, sickness, disease, none of that stuff has power when you have purpose? Think about this. No, stay with me. Stay with me. Think about this. Imagine you walking on the path that God has called you to, and something attacks your body. And the doctor says, it looks grim. You may have 6 months to live. And you can go back to your purpose and say, but God, you told me I'm called to do this for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. So there's no way I'm dying in 6 months. So I can attach my faith not to being healed of this disease, but to the purpose that you said you called me to do. So therefore, you can't take me out, enemy, because I have a purpose.
Yeah.
Look how different we just turned faith around.
Yeah.
Told you I had something for you. Lord, how much of this do I give them today? This is a lot. Faith attached to purpose carried or mixed or blended with. Again, this is the perfect recipe for God's success. Patience. He said, for you have need of patience that after you've stood, after you've suffered a while, that you will see the answer of God. And suffer means to wait or tarry. Suffer the children to come unto me, right? Not suffered like church has turned it into. But after you had tarried, after you wait, after you persevered and put up a while. So faith mixed with patience. I'm going to give you those scriptures next week. But he said you have need of patience and you mix patience with your faith. And it literally says you mix patience and faith together. There's a book I think Kenneth Copeland did, Faith and Patience, the Power Twins. Maybe Hagen. But he talked about how faith without patience doesn't work. There's a mixture. You understand what I'm saying to you today? So you take your faith, you mix it with patience, but it's carried by your purpose. I'm going to go through these briefly today. And we're going to go more to detail next week because I got scriptures for every one of these. So here's what we're going to say. Purpose mixed with what did we start with? From last time. Wisdom. No, insight. No. Understanding. The roof did our homework. Understanding. And through those you receive the knowledge of God. See, keep them in order here because they're important. You seek God for wisdom. You receive that through him, every man through Christ. Now you seek him for insight and understanding. And that opens you up to the knowledge of God. And he promised you all these success and all these great things. But then it says, now we're talking about the purpose, which now recreates your faith to having more than a momentary deliverance, but a lifetime and a full operational function. Can you see? And I'm going to stay with you, God. I'm not even going to go to patience. I hear what you're saying. Let's just stay with that. Do you notice that just by the revelation that I shared with you today, that your faith went from being a momentary day-to-day thing to a lifetime commitment to something? Do you notice that it just changed the whole meaning of faith from top to bottom? Because it has an anchor. And faith without an anchor just wanders around. And I see people, I'm believing God for this. And I see them later in the day, well, I'm believing God for this. Well, what did God say about that? Well, I believe he just told me to do that so I could go here. You ever met a person like that? Every time you see them, their faith is somewhere else. The thing they were standing for with all their heart, they ain't standing for no more. I've done it. God said, because you never had it attached to a purpose. And everything I put in front of you, if it was tied to a singular purpose for me, everything would have made its course and it would all come together. And usually when you get on track, he shows you. Like I said, he picks right up like you never missed it. Once you line up, and all of a sudden, it all starts to come together. Ah. So that's why you have me doing this, and that's why you have me doing like this, and that's why you have me sharing. And this is why people always said this to me. And now I understand why that word was spoken over me almost 30 years ago. And it all makes sense now, because now I'm not seeking things, I'm seeking a purpose. When you attack, you could do better than that. Come on, give God some room.
Amen.
So I'm going to let it rest on this, because this is a huge undertaking, and I don't want you to drift off of this. Purpose, then faith. Faith attached to purpose is the most powerful oil weapon you have, because it reproduces its own oil. It keeps kicking oil out. It just keeps, it's like a machine, that's an oil making machine. And no matter what comes, and no matter what comes your way, or no matter what happens, or what doesn't make sense to your mind, the oil comes. Mitchell wanted to meet with me this morning. He wanted to talk to me about school. And the school he was considering, and he wanted to know my thoughts about the school. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, I know guidance counselor. What do I know about that? That ain't my wheelhouse. God said, when you get there, you know. And he said to me again, but that's what you do. You know how to pull down from the throne. You know how to get it. You know how to get an answer. When you get to him, you have the answer he needs. Well, I know that's my purpose, though. I know that's my purpose, though. So I walked in, and I sat my bag down. I pulled up a chair and sat and crossed the table from him and said, okay, God, go.
Amen.
Go. Because it's a purpose. Say, I have a purpose. So I asked you at the beginning of this message, what is the definition of purpose? How many of you feel like you have a much clearer now definition of what purpose is? Now, do you think you can go before God and see where you tie in with that? What was the words again? End game. What else did you give me? Let's do it again. The reason why you're here. What else? Destiny. Come on. Any more? Those are good. So why am I here? What's the end game, God? And from that, my prayer over each and every one of you right now is that you allow God to create a purpose. A purpose in you that shows you your end game, that no matter what you do, are you listening to me, babies? And where God takes you and what doors he opens for you, you're always looking at that and saying, how does it tie into the end game? How does it tie into the conclusion? Everything that you have in front of me right now, Lord, gather up all the fragments, that nothing be wasted. How does this all tie to the end game? Not paying my rent this month, getting past this bad situation. How does it tie to the end game? Because it all ties. And once you do that, the wisdom will flow, the insight will come, the understanding will show, the knowledge of God will present itself, and destiny will speak back to you and guide you all the way to him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's it.